Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
An interesting phenomenon occurs when laws get struck down by courts, because laws get passed and they get put into the law books, and the law books go up on shelves or places like that. And when the laws get struck down by courts, they often remain on the books. So a person flipping through a law book might see a law and go, hey, there's a law right there, not knowing that a court has ruled that that law is unenforceable or unconstitutional. And that's what happened in Louisiana. Neil sent me a story, so Steve, check this out. A man was arrested for criminal defamation because he criticized the local police department, for which he used to work, by the way. And they arrested him for that. And now he is suing them. And he just won a big event in the lawsuit, in the case itself. So I'll try to explain this as best I can procedurally as we go along. The case is called Rogers versus Smith. Rogers is the plaintiff and the man who was arrested. Smith is one of the police officers. There's several officers here, three. One is a sheriff, one's a chief, one's a sergeant. I'm going to refer to them collectively as the police or the officers and so on, and Rogers as the plaintiff or Rogers. Case arises out of the arrest of plaintiff Rogers for criminal defamation. Defendants are the sheriff, the chief, and the sergeant. And plaintiff says that he used to work for that sheriff's office for like 11 years before he left for other employment. In 2017, there was a crime in that parish, got a lot of news coverage, and plaintiff began communicating with the victim's family and became critical of the investigation being conducted by the police. At some point, the police became aware of the emails critical of them and began investigating their source. Plaintiff alleges that upon discovering that he was the author of the emails, the department sought the advice from the district attorney's office, who told them that Louisiana's criminal defamation law had been declared unconstitutional as to public officials, and therefore charges against plaintiff would be unconstitutional. Despite this, defendants arrested plaintiff for criminal defamation. So what's going on here is Louisiana had a law, and they still do, it's on the books, but it's not enforceable as to everybody. But it basically said if you defame somebody, not only can they sue you, but you can be arrested for it. Criminal defamation. There was a famous U.S. Supreme Court case where the Supreme Court said there's actually two different standards for defamation. And the standard for a public official is much different than that for a regular person. Public officials should be willing to take criticism to some extent and just toughen up and deal with it. But you can't sue somebody or arrest someone for being critical of you if you're a public official. So the question is if you're a public official. And so the DA told these guys, you're public officials because you're police officers. He's allowed to be critical of you. You can't arrest him for that. They arrested him for that. So in September of 2019, one of the officers obtained an arrest warrant for plaintiff for violation of Louisiana Revised Statute Section 1447. In the affidavit for the arrest warrant, the officer certified that the plaintiff's emails referred to the lead investigator as clueless, provided false information regarding the investigator's experience and ability, and made derogatory remarks about him and others. Plaintiff alleges the affidavits also stated falsely that the victim's families requested assistance in identifying the author of the emails. The affidavit, however, left out the bit about the DA saying that this would be unconstitutional to arrest a man for this. They did not include that in the affidavit. And the court points that out on purpose. Plaintiff was arrested and released on bail the same day. Ultimately, the Louisiana Department of Justice declined to prosecute the criminal charge against him. He now brings these claims against defendants for First Amendment retaliation, unlawful seizure, false arrest, violation of the Louisiana Constitution, and abuse of process. Keep in mind that these are pretrial motions, and so defendant has sought to have these charges against them thrown out. Plaintiff said, hey, while we're in court, I'm going to ask the court to rule in my favor because I think the facts are so overwhelmingly in my favor that I can win right now on some of these counts. So there's cross motions for summary judgment. Defendants present several arguments in support of their motion for summary judgment here. They claim they're entitled to qualified immunity, of course. They claim that the retaliation claim is unfounded. They say that official and individual capacity claims against the sheriff should be dismissed, and the official capacity claims against the others should be dismissed, and that plaintiffs' state law claims should fail also. The court addresses them all in turn, and I'm only going to focus on the big ones because this case is actually like, 13, 14 pages long, and we ain't got that kind of time. But qualified immunity, of course, is what we're really talking about here. Defendants argue that they are entitled to qualified immunity from plaintiffs' claims. The doctrine of qualified immunity protects government officials from liability for civil damages insofar as their conduct does not violate clearly established statutory or constitutional rights of which a reasonable person should have known. Plaintiff has the burden of rebutting the officer's defense by establishing a genuine fact issue as to whether the officer's alleged wrongful conduct violated clearly established law. Okay? Defendants argue that they're entitled to qualified immunity from plaintiff's claims because there's no clearly established constitutional right of which they should have known prior to plaintiff's arrest for criminal defamation. They say, first of all, plaintiff's arrest was made pursuant to a valid warrant. We had a warrant. So there you go. The law under which plaintiff was arrested was still on the books and had not been declared entirely unconstitutional. It had only been declared unconstitutional for the way they used it. Can you imagine making that argument? And the cases declaring the law unconstitutional were distinguishable from the facts here such that the arrest was constitutional. That's their argument. They argue, however, that because the defamed party in this case was a deputy, they argue he's not a public official. Well, here's the court talking now. Defendants do not cite to any authority for the proposition that a police officer is not a public official. To the contrary, both the Louisiana Supreme Court and the Fifth Circuit have held that a police officer is a public official. The Supreme Court, defendants suggest that because there's no case directly addressing whether a police officer is a public official in the context of Louisiana's criminal defamation statute, then the constitutional right was not clearly established. And that's what we've talked about before, is they'll say, you got to find a case that's exactly on point. And the question is, how exactly do we mean here? So the Supreme Court, the biggie, has held, however, that there need not be a case directly on point. Rather, existing precedent must have placed the statutory or a constitutional question beyond debate. Okay? Here it is well settled in Louisiana law, both that a police officer is a public official and that Louisiana's criminal defamation statute is unconstitutional as applied to public officials. In addition, plaintiff also presents evidence that the DA specifically told defendants that a police officer is a public official and that the plaintiff's arrest would be unconstitutional. They were told that by the DA. In his deposition, one defendant admitted that he was specifically told by the DA's office that it would be unconstitutional to arrest the man. The captain likewise testified that the decision to arrest plaintiff was made after being informed that the criminal defamation statute was unconstitutional by the DA's office. And again, this is sworn testimony. These guys have admitted it. They were told it was unconstitutional. Oh, we'll arrest them anyways. Finally, issuance of a warrant does not guarantee qualified immunity where on an objective basis, it is obvious that no reasonably competent officer would have concluded that a warrant should issue. They should have known better. Indeed, and this is a good one, an officer charged with enforcing Louisiana law can be presumed to know that law. I've had a lot of people, I'm talking hundreds, possibly thousands of comments over the years on my channel, where people say, Steve, how come is it police officers can be ignorant of the law? But if you tell a police officer, I didn't know that was against the law, he goes, oh, ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. Guess what? It's true for cops too. An officer charged with enforcing Louisiana law can be presumed to know the law. Both the judge and the sheriff testified that the information provided by the DA, that is that this is going to be an unconstitutional arrest, should have been included in the arrest warrant. So the judge would have glanced at it and said, oh, wait a second, we got to double check this, or the magistrate. Accordingly, the fact that defendants arrested plaintiff pursuant to a warrant does not protect them from liability. Defendants' argument that there was no clearly established constitutional right of which they should have known prior to plaintiff's arrest for criminal defamation does not pass muster, and they are not entitled to qualified immunity. Now, the First Amendment retaliation claim. So the man who's the plaintiff here was talking to somebody, and he was critical of a public official, a police officer. And he then gets arrested. And he says, that arrest was obviously because I was talking bad about him, right? Well, defendants argue that the First Amendment retaliation claim must fail because they had probable cause and a warrant for his arrest. When asserting a claim for retaliatory arrest, the plaintiff must first establish the absence of probable cause and then demonstrate that the retaliation was a substantial or motivating factor behind the arrest. This court has already held there was no probable cause. Further, plaintiff points to the following evidence that he contends shows that the arrest was made in retaliation. And I've talked about this tangentially before. I like that word, tangentially. And that is, how do you ever prove what someone is thinking? And sometimes you simply go, well, let's look what they did. Look what they did. So one, the DA told defendants the arrest would be unconstitutional. And they did it anyway. Two, defendants obtained plaintiff's emails with an allegedly illegal search warrant that cited a non-existent crime. They actually filed a search warrant and executed, I'm guessing, on internet provider, saying they wanted access to emails. And they said it's because there's a violation of this crime, and they put in a number that's non-existent under the Louisiana state codes. So that would indicate something. Three, defendants arrested plaintiff when they could have sent a summons. They just sent him a summons, go, yeah, here you go, answer to this. Four, they issued a press release within 15 minutes of his arrest. Now, here's the thing. They arrest the guy, and within 15 minutes, they issue a press release. The press release looks like it may have been drafted before the man was arrested. How often do they do that? They then sent a, they also sent a formal complaint to his employer. Plaintiff presents evidence that the press release and formal complaint were outside of the sheriff's regular policy. And indeed, one of the officers testified he could not recall another time that a press release had gone out before an arrestee was booked. Likewise, the sheriff testified he did not know of any other time that the office had sent a formal complaint to an arrestee's employer. So their explanations, however, only underscore that material issues of fact abound whether plaintiff's arrest was made in retaliation for exercising his First Amendment rights, referring to the plaintiff. So a jury can look at that and go, yeah, it's obvious. That's why they did that. So defendants move for summary judgment in all of plaintiff's state law claims. Plaintiff brings claims for violation of the Louisiana Constitution, the state law torts of false arrest, false imprisonment, and abuse of process. The court will address the former three claims in the next section, but as to his abuse of process claim, plaintiff must show an improper willful act in the use of a legal process and the existence of an ulterior purpose. Defendants argue that plaintiff cannot show this. This court finds that much of the evidence that plaintiff submitted as to his First Amendment retaliation claim also raises material issues of fact here. Accordingly, summary judgment is denied. Now, plaintiff says, while we're here, Your Honor, I think the facts are so overwhelmingly in my favor, I should get summary judgment on some of my claims. Court says, let's talk about that. Plaintiff's motion for partial summary judgment. Plaintiff moves for summary judgment on his 1983 false arrest claim and his state law false arrest and false imprisonment claims. To prevail on those claims, plaintiff must show that defendants did not have probable cause to arrest him. Similarly, to succeed on a state law false arrest and false imprisonment claim, plaintiff must show detention of the person and the unlawfulness of the detention. It is undisputed that plaintiff was arrested and detained by defendants. Plaintiff argues that because Louisiana's criminal defamation statute is unconstitutional as applied to police officers, there is no probable cause for his arrest. The Supreme Court has defined probable cause as the facts and circumstances within the officer's knowledge that are sufficient to warrant a prudent person or one of reasonable caution in believing in the circumstances shown that the suspect has committed, is committing, or is about to commit an offense. This court has already held that the unconstitutionality of Louisiana's criminal defamation statute as applied to police officers is beyond debate. It is also undisputed that plaintiff was arrested because of statements he made about Detective Buckner in his official capacity as a law enforcement officer, where an arrest warrant is premised on the violation of an unconstitutional law the warrant lacks probable cause because the conduct complained of is not a criminally actionable offense. Accordingly, plaintiff correctly argues that there is no probable cause for his arrest. Accordingly, plaintiff is entitled to summary judgment on his false arrest and false imprisonment claims under both federal and state law. So that's the end of that. I did jump over a little thing where it talks about whether or not some of these police officers are liable under their individual capacity, their official capacity, only because it's much too lengthy. And like I said, it's actually a 13-page complaint. But the point is that the man was critical of the way the police were handling the situation, and he's emailing with the family of the victim. Somehow the police became aware of that and decided to arrest him under a statute that, while still on the books, had been struck down by courts so long ago that the DA said, you can't arrest the man for that. They went and got a warrant anyways, and somehow he got arrested. And so here you are now. And so he's suing them for that. And they said, well, qualified immunity. Qualified immunity doesn't cover you when you arrest people for laws that aren't effective anymore. And so that's the weird part, like I said, about laws. And I can show you laws that are on the books in many states that are so old and so archaic that people have forgotten about them. And yes, they should probably go through the law books from time to time and clean them up. They probably should. But they don't, and I presume it's because they either have more important things to do, or they're thinking, gee, if a court spun it around last time, maybe another court could spin it around in the future. That's possible also. But Neil, thanks for sending it. It's a fascinating case out of Louisiana. Jerry Rogers versus Randy Smith et al. Questions and comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I'll have what she's having.